I encourage you now to open up your copies of God's Word in Matthew chapter 6. We are now one third of the way through the greatest sermon ever preached. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And some things Jesus says we think we have a good grasp on. And the deeper we go into what he says, the more we find out, the more we need to grow. And this is no different to what we've been experiencing in chapter 5. I'm going to be reading the first 18 verses, however, tapping into most, but briefly, but concentrating primarily on the first 4 verses. This is the word of the Lord. Jesus is speaking here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray for and ask for God's help. Father, we come into your presence in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus. He is the Christ. We believe in you, Lord. You are our Savior, our Redeemer. You are our great High Priest. You are the sacrifice given. You are the King. Our Lord, you are the proclaimer of the kingdom of heaven, the great and last prophet. We are your people. We are here to praise you. Lord, I ask that you would be blessed to allow your Spirit to give the word, Spirit, that you would come to these people and that you will realign our hearts and our motivation to do all things, to practice, to live, to practice our righteousness in a way that will find its ultimate outcome in the glory of God, in the person of Jesus, by your power and work through our spirit. Jesus, I think there's hope here. And so I ask if you would see it to be right. And if I have come close to pleasing you, Lord, can you deliver a tone of hope and love that your people may be edified, and that we together, increasing our hope and joy, will bring glory to your great name. Lord, I ask this in your name. Amen. I don't think I need to convince many people we live in a strange world. a world where many have risen as champions for all sorts of causes without really being true loyalists to the cause. Do you know what I mean? The those who grab our attention like protesters by siding with a movement, but then they're not really committed to the movement. What they really want is for you to see them as they practice what is currently trending as virtuous. These champions of our time, social champions, they grab our attention so we can see how responsible they are or how morally upright many of them are. They want the world to see how politically and socially superior they are. But their motivation is not to bring attention to the movement that they're part of, but to grab your attention so you can see them as virtuous. They just use the cause or the movement or the ideal to bring themselves praise. It's a form of showboating. Grandstanding. Have you seen like those queers for Palestinian protesters? They're supporting a regime that if given all power would eradicate all queers. They associate themselves with this movement, they practice, they protest with a group, but they're not really tying themselves to the group. They just want to be seen as some kind of virtuous people. Or what about our politicians? You know, every time they do something good for us, they're altruistic, they make sure they film it. And then that night, they're on TV. They're not doing it necessarily for our good, not necessarily. They're doing it because they want to prop themselves up. And like influencers who film their, you know, those influencers that they will film their one time that they go helping and giving to the needy. You know, sure, they're helping and giving to the needy, but they don't make it a habit of helping the needy. Nevertheless, they sure want you to see and know when and how much they give to the needy for that one time. So then they publish it on TikTok or they do it on Twitter. They even live stream it. They don't really care about the needy, you see. They just care about getting your praise. They feed off our validation. And this is what social media relies upon. It relies upon our insatiable desire to be validated by our fellow man. There are so many champions of this world, so many different causes, that it's getting pretty hard to keep up with all the various things going on in this world. And these champions, like I said, are not all loyalists to the cause. They're not all genuine. They don't have true motives. Because rather than bring attention to the good that they have aligned themselves with, many just, like I said, are just trying to bring attention to themselves. They just want you to see them, to praise them for their crusade, for their effort, for their resolve, for their commitment, for their virtue. In fact, so prevalent has this attitude taken over our times, and so prevalent are these fake acts of righteousness that we had to come up with a name for it. So when someone grabs our attention to publicly show themselves as politically correct to try to make us see them as morally superior, so they can gain approval and admiration from others, we call this virtue signaling. But we can see right through it. It's insincere, it's fake. It's not motivated by genuine intentions. And this is what Jesus warns his disciples about. Jesus warns his disciples about practicing their acts of righteousness just so they can grab the attention of others and then gain their praise. Listen to the warning given to us in the Bible. Hear now the word of God. Matthew 6:1, Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." Jesus warns his disciples here to be alert, to be aware that this is going to be a temptation for them. To be aware of it, that beware of virtue signaling. See what Jesus is actually warning against here. It's not do not practice your righteousness, but it's about the motivation behind the act. You know, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. Once again, Jesus, he hasn't really shifted too much in his sermon. He has the inner person in his mind. It's about what he's getting at is about what resides in your soul. In the heart. He wants us to keep chiseling away at the internal part of the person. What is motivating you? Disciples, he's telling them, when you go into the world, what will motivate you to practice your righteousness? You know, Jesus has been teaching his disciples, you have heard that it was said, you shall keep a law. And then Jesus says, but I say to you, the law of God is kept in the heart before it is kept as an action. So Jesus is continuing to address the inner person. He's getting at, don't let the praise of others be the motivation to your acts of righteousness. For then, he says, he's pretty straightforward. He says, for then you shall have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Jesus means that the mere act of righteousness are not automatically blessed by God. So and it really matters why we do things. It really matters what the motivation is within our heart. It is a call that Jesus is beginning and to impress upon his disciples to live counter to all those religious people out there, all those religious elites of the time. Because you see, in that time, whenever the scribes, which were the teachers, the law professors, the ones that were the erudite ones of the law of God, and the Pharisees, which were the enforcers of the law, when the scribes and Pharisees performed any acts of righteousness, they promoted it. They wanted you to know about it. They made a big deal about it. So they did it so then they could be seen by others. And then gain the praise of the people. And Jesus says, don't be a hypocrite. Don't bring your acts of righteousness outside in a way that's misaligned with the intention of your heart, or the supposed intention of the heart, or the purpose of your heart. So he says in verse 2 how he calls them hypocrites without really referring to them just yet. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you. And that's where we get, you know, toot your own horn or sound your own trumpet when you make a big deal about the things that you do. When you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. Can you see what Jesus is saying? He's just performing acts with the motivation of wanting to be seen and to receive praise from others. He says that righteousness is hypocritical. It's hypocritical because Jesus has been teaching his disciples that kingdom people, they actually do and supposed to go out and shine good works, but that good works that they do needs to end up in the glory of God and not man. Jesus said to his disciples, you are the salt of the earth. Don't lose your saltiness. He also said that you are the light of the world. And so he said, let your light shine before others that they may see your good works and then give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Jesus is warning. Jesus warns that your motivation behind your righteousness must not be to gain the praise of others, but it must be used to praise our Father. You can see what there's going on there. Any time that your acts of righteousness, and when we do things out in the world or before one another, and it ends up on me and people are praising me, and you're doing it with the intention to actually get praise, that's stealing the glory of God. You see what he's trying to say? We mustn't do that because we won't built for that. We weren't designed or created for that. We were created as the imago Dei, the image of God, to reflect his character. In fact, that's how he ended that last part of his thought. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Ah, but beware of practicing your righteousness before others. See, we are to do this, but there is a motivation behind the righteousness. And so we can derive a principle for kingdom people right here. Here's a one-liner. Let's think about this as we go out to try and apply it. To godly motivation brings the righteousness to our righteous acts. I think that would be right the more we think about it. What I'm doing now is I'm trying to tickle you, your heart, and say, think about why you do things. What is your motivation? Jesus says, if you sound your own horn, grabbing the attention for yourself, bringing praise to yourself for your righteousness, Jesus says, well, it's not that you're not going to receive a reward. It's not that you're not going to get anything. It's just you're not going to receive it from God. Your reward will be limited to just the praise of others. It's temporal. Verse 6, thus when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Past tense, truly I say to you, they have received the reward. Wow, it's like, you want to do that? It's almost like he's balancing. Which one do you prefer? Reward from God, reward from man? You have the motivation to do acts of righteousness that will bring you, that people see you and bring you glory. Well, then you're going to receive it by the people. The implication is that God will bless and reward those who bring glory to his name and have the motivation to do so. It's so insatiable, this desire for validation. You know, we trick ourselves. We have personal inner dialogues going on, and we manipulate ourselves. You know why? Because we want to be just. So we say, okay, Jesus, I get it. I get it now. I get what he's saying. He's saying, as long as I don't do something that will bring scene, people looking at me, and their praise, I'll be okay. I've got it. And then we practice our righteousness, and we say, all right, it's okay then to praise myself. And Jesus preempts it in the very next verse. So then he says, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. This verse is somewhat of a riddle. See how Jesus, he personifies one of our members, or both our members, are hands. You know, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. It's like as if, do your hands know anything? Are your hands conscious of anything? Can your hands reason? Do they talk to one another? No, Jesus, what Jesus means is that your internal conversation, your inner dialogue, when you say to yourself that you done good, when oh, look what I gave, and it's happening within, Wally, you're doing good, that's righteous, and then you play on it, that's what he's talking about. You're starting to give yourself praise. The discussion that he's had in secret that no one sees and no one hears, you think is good, but there's a shift now. But God sees it and hears it. That inner dialogue must not be voiced for too long, Jesus says. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Let your giving be without too much inner discussion, lest you begin to think that and praise yourself for the good works, lest you begin to think of yourself more highly than you ought. That's in Romans 12. We can be our own worst enemy. I wonder if you're like that. You make laws upon laws. No, I heard Jesus. He says, don't bring anyone seeing me or attention. I've got it. And then you give. Don't tell anyone. Don't. I want my reward in heaven. Shh. And then you go home going, there's another one that I've done. Another one. You know, and you amp yourself up. And Jesus is saying, not even that. That's stealing the glory of God. He said, I don't want to be seen and praised, nor do I want to sound a trumpet so then others can see and then know what when I give. But lurking in our heart, there is our own trumpeter. It's letting my faculties know how righteous I am. You know, see, others may not see what I do, but my heart sees and rehearses all the good I do. You see, I'm avoiding praise by others, but I'm giving praise to myself. Jesus says that is also to steal the glory of God. He's saying, do not dwell on your acts of righteousness, because they're good. And you're going to think that yourself is good and worthy of praise. What does that mean just then? You see, when you think about the good that you do, I did that, and it is good. Righteous works are good. The more you think about the good that you've done and how you do good, you're going to think, I'm good, I'm worthy, I'm deserving. And yet it's the righteous acts that could only have been given to you by a righteousness that is foreign to you. That's first given to you by Jesus, first given to you by God. You see, that we're stealing the glory. Everything we do is only because of the power of God working through us by His Holy Spirit, by the works and life and crosswork of Jesus Christ. And so He says, rather when you give in secret, verse 3, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. You see what He's saying? But behind the shadows of the heart, when we're checking our own motivation in the secret recesses, the secret places, the God of light reveals all things. You know what God does in our own hearts and our own soul? He exposes my heart and He sees the secret things that I'm trying to hide. The Word of God is so wonderful. It's so piercing. It's so righteous. And so that righteousness, it cannot be faked. Has anyone heard before when the author of Hebrews, he says, for the word of God is living and active. You heard that before? It says it's sharper. The word of God, the very word of God, it says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces between the division of the soul and the spirit. It just goes in between of joint and marrow of the bone. It goes deep. And it says the word of God is so discerning that it discerns our thoughts, and it says the intentions of the heart. You know, we may try and fudge our way through this kingdom, or we may try and fake our way in, but God doesn't check the credentials of mere works, you see. God checks the credentials of the heart. He exposes our thoughts, and then He exposes our intentions and the motivation. You know, the author of Hebrews then goes on to say, he says, and no creature is hidden from his sight. That's God's sight. But all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. God sees everything. You see, to rely on righteous works and put aside the heart's intention and motivation is to delay the inevitable consequence of God's judgment. You see, if you keep going through life saying this, you know, I'm going to church, I am tithing 13%, and I'm going on Monday to prayer and Friday to prayer, Wednesday night to Bible study, and these are my great righteous works, and you want people to see it, and you make a show of it, and you bring attention to yourself, you're still in glory, yes, but what Jesus is saying, examine your heart to see whether or not you have His righteousness. Examine that if you're doing it for the wrong reasons. Beloved, if you're here and you're doing all these things for the wrong reasons, just to be seen by others and get their praise, you may need to repent and believe in the righteousness of God, to seek the God who sees all things. Otherwise, what we're doing is we're delaying the inevitable judgment of the God who will judge us for our works. You see, Jesus says, if you receive the praise of man, I've received a reward. That's just the praise of man. If we receive my secret self-praise, then I've also received that reward. God says, be righteous. Don't practice your righteousness with your motivation to be seen by others. Don't sound a trumpet. Don't make noise about it. Do not even let your inner self know what you're doing. Don't tell yourself how much you gave. Don't allow the inner dialogue to praise your righteousness. But live doing the acts of Christ in secret, if you have to, unperturbed. If whether others see you or do not is irrelevant. Because there is one who sees. One who sees everything, and that's your Father. And it says, and your Father who is in secret shall praise and reward you. You see what he's trying to say, that if you do things in secret from the heart, that's the motivation. No man can see it, but God can. And so therefore, if God is the only one that truly sees your true works, there's only one in your audience. And God becomes the audience of one in your life. He's the secret audience of one. Now that is how we should live our lives. That is Jesus preparing his disciples to do all things for the glory of God, to check your motivation, watch how you bring attention to your lives, because God is the only true one that you must grab his attention. And so Jesus goes on in verse 5, and when you pray, gives two more examples. When you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received the reward. Again, the constant receiving a reward is just man's praise. Again, don't practice righteousness for the praise of others. But then Jesus is so helpful and so full of grace and mercy that he gives us a way. Okay, that's not how to do it. Well, then how do I do it, Jesus? And Jesus says in verse 6, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray. Look what he says, to your Father who is in secret. It means that God at the moment, our Heavenly Father, can't be seen. Doesn't mean it's all secret squirrel kind of thing. He says, your Father who is in secret and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Again, Jesus is using the theme of reward for motivation. Motivation to influence our actions. He wants us to ask our question now. Are we seeking the attention of God or of man? Are we going to be satisfied by temporal praise and reward? When God in Jesus is offering all of us in the whole world eternal praise and reward. We want so much from fellow men to praise us. Can you imagine the praise that will come from the Creator himself? Jesus calls to all his disciples to examine themselves. Beware of practicing your righteousness. It's very practical right now. He's getting to the application. So when you give, don't do it to be seen by others or to be praised by them. When you pray, don't make up big fancy words and long sentences. A parenthetical thought for everybody. Oh, when I've taught people to pray, if you don't know what to say next, the next word should be amen. You know, this is the most powerful prayer in the Bible. You know where it comes from? He couldn't lift up his head up. Have mercy upon me, a sinner. Amen. Big fancy words. You don't need them. God hears you. And God sees you. He's the one who's in secret and shall reward you in secret. It's a teaching that Jesus is giving to examine our soul. He says, stop pleasing man when God is your only one in the audience. See, he's making a progression. It's not only the public sphere giving to the needy so they may see. It's not only about sounding a trumpet so then you get the attention. It's not only about the inner dialogue of my thoughts and my intentions. It's not only about my prayers and big words. Jesus says, even in your appearance, you've got to jump down to verse 16. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you that they have received the reward. But when you fast, anoint your head. Wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. See the piety, what you want is God to see you. It's almost like when our intention and motivation is to be praised by others, somehow God turns his face. And he's saying, do all things for him, for his attention, to bring glory to him. And then your Father who sees in secret will reward you. I don't know if you struggle with this, but this is such an insatiable desire in all of us to seek the praise and validation from man. So you see, he's not saying, don't do any acts of righteousness. He's saying, don't do them or beware of practicing them in order to be seen by others. Stop your virtue signaling. The manner of our righteous living is to show the light of God within us, working its way out of us. And so our righteousness must have its end in the glory of God. He's also talking about reward. See, what Jesus says, if you do this, if you live like this, it's actually the life that's lived by all those who do not have the righteousness of God. And they're trying to make up their own righteousness so they can be seen by others and get the glory. But Jesus is kind to us here. See the corrective? Jesus, see what is the outcome of practicing righteousness in order to be seen by others? The outcome to be seen by others is no reward from God. But he's saying to do it in secret is to then gain a reward. You see what Jesus is doing? He's actually showing us and teaching us how to receive the reward. And what is this reward? I know many people struggle with this. I think that a reward from God is found in his word. Do you remember that when Jesus was speaking about the gifts and talents that he gives to people? And he had to come up with a parable to try and explain it. He gives, you know, 5 talents to one guy, that guy invested. He gives 1 talent to one guy, that guy, ooh, I'm pretty scared about Jesus, go and bury it. He says at the very end of that parable, to show what it's like to come into the kingdom of God, you hear God speak to the person who was faithful. And he says this in Matthew 25, verse 21, this is the praise that God will give to the faithful servant. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter the joy of your master. I think the reward from God has 3 elements at least here. The first one is we can see it in praise. You know, when we're in a timeless place in heaven, God himself, with the sound of roaring waters, will say, well done, Wally. Good and faithful servant. I think there will be praise that will come from investing his talents in this world. Even if they're hidden, secret, and no one sees them. And even if no one sees all the work that I've done behind the scenes and I get no credit, I must trust in one time that God will look upon my life and he will say, well done. There's my attention. That is what I should strive for. The second part of the blessing comes in the multiplication. Hear what he said, you have been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. In heaven, I don't know what it's going to be like, but I do understand there's going to be some giving, some reward, some, I don't know, a greater intensity. I don't know what it is, but all I know is that the little that I use to the glory of God, Jesus promises to multiply that and make it much. Much more than anyone here on the earth would do or give. The third element of the reward of God, I think that we all should be paying attention to, I think, is himself. What would it be like to enter the joy of our master? His joy. In my presence, there is fullness of joy, and at my right hand, pleasures forevermore. His joy is inseparable to God. And if I enter into the joy of my master, I'm entering into your presence, his presence. See the rewards, the return in your investments in the kingdom of God. Please be shocked to know that with Christ and God, the rewards he gives will be eternal. And the rewards we seek by looking to grab attention by signal virtue signaling are just temporal. Jesus will eventually, in this same chapter, he will eventually say something like this: where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He's telling us to start thinking about eternity. It's amazing, though, how we can look at God's salvation and try and steal his glory. Amazing, because God says in Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God." And when we come to God in his righteousness, we forget it's a gift. And we start living as though it's all about me. God even gives us repentance that we may come to him. He also causes us to be born again. If anyone deserves glory, it is him. And yet, when God asks for glory, listen to Jesus. Listen to the text. At the end of Matthew 6:4, verse 4, he says, "He will reward you." God rewards us. God will reward us for bringing glory to his name. That's unthinkable. It's beyond mercy. The motivation of Jesus to us, he's saying, is watch the motivation of your heart to not seek praise, but to seek the reward of God. Now, we're going to be tempted to say, well, then how am I to avoid this quid pro quo regime with God? Well, I'll do this and then God will reward me. How can I live for God, practicing my righteousness, expecting a reward without making it another law? I think that's why then Jesus, in the very next step, he goes into the Lord's Prayer. Ever heard the Lord's Prayer? Or ever recited it in the way that actually you really meant it? I did contemplate that we'd all get stand up and say it together, and I thought, oh, everyone think that's a ritual. But Jesus says that when we pray, we are to begin, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Your name is great. You're the best. You're the ultimate. There's nothing greater than you. And then he says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Lord, not my will, but the will of everything that's happening in heaven, make it come down without being theonomous, but come down, O Lord. The next thing that he says, "Give us this day our daily bread." Lord, secure my employment. Allow me to keep feeding my family, because without you I am nothing. I have no daily bread. He says, "Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. Forgive me, Lord, because I'm a sinner, as I forgive my brothers and sisters who have sinned against me. Oh, Lord, lead me not into temptation. I do not want to sin. Steer me away from the things that steal my heart." You see, when you have that prayer in your soul and you pray that daily, I think every time that you conduct a righteous act, you're not going to want to have the glory. You're going to want to return it to the Lord. How are we to refuse virtue signaling? I think what we have to do as we look at God's word is start to cultivate our hearts that seeks to be satisfied with just the attention of God. I wonder if you are there. Do you need just to be satisfied by God? Maybe you need to realign your heart to him. To expect God's reward, to trust that God will reward us even when we're by ourselves and doing ministry by ourselves. What greater righteousness can there be than to live a life that is pleasing to God? You see, the thing is, if you seek to be praised by God, you will not be conformed to this world. With all the changing fads and all the virtue signaling that it does and all the different fashions, if you align yourself with the will of God rather than seeking to have the praise of man, you're never going to be so fickle like the world. You're going to be set steadfast on the Lord. But I also want to end with this. There's going to come a time when you're going to feel alone. Because the walk of Christ, Jesus says, few travel on that narrow path. And the more concerned you get to work in the ministry of the Lord, there are going to be times where you're going to pray and you're going to read the Bible and you're going to prepare sermons or talks. And you're going to be doing it in secret. And you're going to stand with a person. You're going to help them understand the Bible. You're going to take time off. You're going to spend your coffee money on them, trying to help them understand something. You're going to preach a word. You're going to be with women's Bible study. You're going to be on a Wednesday night, a Monday evening prayer, or a Friday morning, and no one will give you an ounce of praise. And you must be fully persuaded to believe that there's one that's seeing it all. He sees it. And as tough it will be, you will want to give up and quit. Because there's something inside you that wants the praise and validation of your fellow man. And what Jesus says is that God who is in secret, he sees in secret and he will reward you. Wait for him. Cultivate the delayed gratification. There will come a time when Jesus will look you in the eye with his fiery eyes staring into your soul and he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over so little, over so long. Here, I'm going to set you over much. Enter the joy of your master. You must have faith for that. You must believe in God's word that he's a God who is in secret and he sees you in secret, but he will also reward you. Allow me to pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. And I ask that you would bless Providence. Turn your face to them now, Jesus, I ask humbly. Lord, give him a sense of your presence. Let those that are alone understand that they are never alone. Those who feel ignored and those who are not seen, that are small on this earth, that you, Father, see them, and all they need to know is that you have placed your attention upon them. Let us be a people that seeks an audience of one, my Lord Jesus, that you would bless us. That we would wait for your reward. That final day, Lord, when you would say, speak and pronounce those beautiful words upon us. Bless this people with that, I ask, O Lord. That they may increase their hope and joy in practicing their righteousness before the world that ends in your glory. To your namesake, I pray. Amen.